Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. Greetings, 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 brothers and sisters. You know, I was speaking for a moment. My mic wasn't even on. Shabbat shalom, Sembet salam. Greetings, greetings, greetings. Here for the Rastafari, some may refer to it as the Friday podcast, Rastafari Fridays. Also, we refer to this as a TJIF. Thank Jah. Thank Yah. And I guess TYIF. Thank Jah. It's Friday podcast. Also, may refer to this as the sabbatical eve, the Shabbat Eve podcast right here. Why is it the Sabbath? Sabbath Eve on Friday? Because it wasn't the Saturday, the Sabbath day. Well, the seventh day that's called by other peoples and from their cultures or whatever, they call it Saturday or from Saturn or whatever. But we know this as the seventh day, and according to HaTorah, it is the Shabbat day. Now, the first thing I like to do is to heal up, you know, to Ras Moshe, Brother Thomas, as well as Brother Seymour, Ras Seymour, for a little reason that we was able to have just prior to this Shabbat here. And for this sabbatical study, we are at the 37th, just to remind one's reason for the season. At the 37th sabbatical study for Shalach Lecha, sometimes referred to simply as Shalach. Shalach, Shalach. Shalach is a command. If you're speaking to like a man and you're saying like send, or to like in a sense, it can have a sense of go on that level of Shalach. From Shalach, Shalach to send, Shalach. Shilla, sen, lecha, 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 for ka, for the ka, for the I self. So this 37th sabbatical, shilach lecha, send for yourself, or go for self, the idea of send for yourself, right? More directly, or in another way of bringing out into English, the approximate sense of the spirit of the Hebrew, like go for self. Now, this is concerning, of course, the promised land, and when the, you know, 12 spies went into the promised land, and how 10 of them brought back an evil report that discouraged the Bnei Yisrael post-Exodus, right, from entering in to the promised land. How they heard news and how the news made them feel blues, and they felt like going back to Mitzrayim, to the Smaitawi, to ancient Egypt. So it's a very interesting Torah portion right here. There's a lot of keys that we see even in the Brit Hadasha, within the New Covenant Scripture. Yes, yes. So I'd like to thank the brothers for that reasoning right there. You know, beginning off of Ras Moshe. You know, he asked an interesting question. Heal up Ras Moshe, Brother Thomas and the family. He said, well, how do you observe the Shabbat? And that was an interesting question. Of course, there was an answer there, but I just took in the question. How do I observe? You know, how do we observe, or in one sense of the translations, to keep, you know, it says to keep the Sabbath. And actually, firstly, according to our recall, if we're correct, it says to remember in the 10 words in Exodus chapter 20, to remember. That's one area we didn't get into the fullness on in the gathering, the Just Vibes. Because there was so much more to speak on the Sabbath, but going to the basic foundation. What would Robeinu, Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, HaAdon, Yeshua, the Lord, the boss, Yeshua, our rabbi, the rabbi, what would he say? Usually he would sometimes begin off with, well, what is written? You know, what is written? So we find it first being written in the translation in Exodus chapter 20, yeah, Exodus chapter 20, it's first written there, is written to remember. Remember. Question that comes to my mind while I was meditating on these verses here, and I hope that others will do so, you know, likewise for themselves, as His Majesty Christina Ab, Godfather and King of Kings, as he would say, to find the truth, right? Find that truth for ourselves, to find the truth for ourselves. And this is where the Sabbath time is good. You know, if one's overstanding the basic principles of it. We go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It says to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Going to the Hebrew, Masoretic Hebrew, Zakor et Yom HaShabbat Likadisho. Zakor. What is Zakor? Zakor come from Zakar. Right? Zakar as a root, we could say verb, right? As a root verb idea, the H2142. BDB brings it out as to remember, to recall. Another way of bringing out the Hebrew sense, the spirit of the Hebrew, Zakor is like more of a kind of a, like a command speaking to a individual male, or to call Yisrael, all of Israel, all the sons of Israel as one man, as one corporate body. From the root Zakar is to remember, to recall, or to call to mind, to call to mind. One time I asked myself, you know, just in reasoning, what does remember mean? It says to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. They say, yeah, remember the Sabbath. You got to remember the Sabbath. Or they go to the other verse, right, in HaTorah, where it says to keep the Sabbath, right, to keep it. But what does that mean, Habarim? What does it mean, right, just to hear remember? So here, study to show ourselves approved, as the brother, our brother Shaul Paul said in the Brit Chadasha, right, to study to show ourselves approved. Because that's an integral part of the Yehudi, you know, the Yehudi derech, the Yehudi way, and especially of the Nazarene way, right? And then we go into the Hebrew scriptures of the Hebrew way to study these things. Now, we can do the same thing from low degrees to high degrees with the English, you know, and just even with the meditation, remember. What does it mean to remember? To remember the Sabbath day. Don't forget the Sabbath day. That's one sense. To recall, or to call to mind. To call to mind the Shabbat. To bring to remembrance. To make it our thought. Concerning our thought, our thinking. What we bring to mind. Isn't it interesting? We have the word mind in the English. And then we have the word remind. To remind, member, remember, right? To bring into remembrance also the sense of to make it a memorial, right? They said part of the mind, right? Is that memory, right? You know, mammalian, the memory part, right? Now, this means that the Sabbath command, even from the Brit Hayashana, what's called the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, even back then, it was way spiritual. I will say to you all, to your Haberim, to the brothers and sisters and others listening, that it was ahead of its time. Even the 10 words, the 10 commandments that was given to call Yisrael Yasharala was kind of ahead of its time, or at least ahead of their mind time. To see that even that idea of remembering the Sabbath, calling to mind, is a spiritual aspect. It doesn't say, well, we have to buy this, you know, or we have to bring this, we have to get this much offering here, you know, or that much shekels there. No, it means that we have to bring something to our psycho-spiritual level, to the spiritual level and the psychological. When I say psychological, I'm referring to the latter-day reference to the soul. The psyche, right, within the New Testament Koine Greek, refers to the nephesh in the Hebrew, which is the soul. Now, the Greeks, many of the secular and the Greeks, they did not have a full conception of the soul in its spiritual dimensions as we have in the Hebrew scripture. But a diligent study of the Hebrew scriptures also encompasses what the first century Koine Greek language brought out as psuche and psyche. You see, back then, it was like us. We're Hebrews. We're Israelites, Ethiopian Hebrews. But the majority of us, you know, because of the language and what our people and our ancestors have gone through, you know, we're speaking English. And we're trying to speak the truth to our people in English, even telling them that we need to learn, you know, the Hebrew, the African, Shemitic language of the scripture. We need to do all of that, you know. But we're using English as a way of communication. If our later people that come after us, even in hundreds of years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, whatever the amount of years may be, should they dismiss it because we spoke it in English? Well, this is a follow-up point, a corollary point to how some of our people, you know, even while acknowledging themselves as Hebrews, hopefully in the fullness of the spirituality of being Hebrew, or as Israelites. Foundationally speaking, we're speaking about the children, the sons of Israel. To be Hebrew and to be Israel is like all of the priests, according to HaTorah, were Levites, but not all of the Levites were priests. So we define Hebrew not just us being black or in that sense, or even being descendants of Israel, right? Because there was many who were of Israel, right? But not Israel. Doesn't it say that there? Because the Hebrew is a spirituality aspect, right? Check out the epistle to the Hebrews, right? But just on this particular point here, just circling, proverbially speaking, on the Sabbath, because of the question was very good. What do you do? You know, like, how do I observe the Sabbath? And the first key word was rest. Rest. Yet, to say rest, right, and refresh and take a delight in that time, space, continuum, to be in the, and here our brother Seymour, as I said, the now, like the now, to be in the moment of the Sabbath. Why? Because so many thoughts come to mind, worries, anxieties. Some people say that all thoughts, according to the Bible, are evil. What sayest thou? Some say that based on the Bible and based on the present translations of the Bible, it would seem to bring out the idea that all, I would say, or most, right, of our human, our natural thoughts are, they tend to that which is evil. Let's break that down. Get it out the religious Western Anglo-Gentile concept. It's hurtful. It's unkind. It's bad. It's not beneficial. Let's put it like that. It's not good, you know? Because our thoughts, our mind, you know, is over here. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about that, you know, to slow the mind. I shared this with my brother as well. And once we check out the video, the order, you know, the video reasoning, you know, on the Rastafari Jews can see a little bit more and hopefully hear a little bit more right there, you know. But it's to still the mind, to focus the mind. So once read, it says, remember. Zakor, remember. But it's more than just so-called remember. You remember I told you, remember this, remember that. It's more than that kind of remember, right? It's to mark this. The word zakar, right, as a verb means to remember. But check this. The word zakar, right, as a noun means male. Male. You know, like the male, female, Zakar is male in the Hebrew. And Nekeba, right, is female, right? So there's a very interesting correspondence from the Hebrew perspective and the true, the full perspective of Robeinu Yeshua, of Yeshua HaMoshiach, right, concerns, right, how does the Hebrew see these things? Right, because that's how we'll get to, well, what was the spirit of the truth of the word, to remember, to call to mind, to make mention of, right, to be mindful of, right, to bring to mind. But also it's concerning of what we bring to mind in that sabbatical time, what we bring to mind in the time. Now, the fullness of the command, right, the fullness of that command that we find in Exodus chapter 20. Now, why is Exodus chapter 20 significant? From a King James English speaker, us from low degrees to high degrees, the first place you'll find Sabbath, according to the KJV, is in Exodus chapter 16. But from the Hebrew, one of the first places you'll find the Shabbat is actually Genesis 2 and 2, when it speaks about Yahweh Eloheinu, how he created, right? And then on the seventh day, he rested from his creation. Now, of course, some people get confused and they say, well, he doesn't have to rest. And they'll say, he's still working. On the Sabbath day, on that seventh day, he was still working? They'll lie you a tell. You understand? Because you don't understand what it means that he rested from the work of the creation, the active work of creating, you know, like the sun, the moon, the stars, the earthly plane, right? He doesn't have to keep creating it every day. He renews it, right? Especially to our perspective, you know, day and night and, you know, day after day, night after night. However, the creation is already set. It's like once you create something or build something, right? So you build a generator for your family or something like that. Once you do that, it's already, once it becomes operational, it's already in effect, unless it gets like broken down, right? In that sense. But as far as the creation, the original creation, it was already created. It's like the template, you know, is set. And then it runs off of, right, that creation model. So it's not every day he's creating a new heavens and a new earth. He does say that there will be new heavens and new earth. That's a whole other reason right there. So when it says he rested from that active work, that's why when it says to us in Exodus chapter 20, right, and the word Shabbat in Exodus, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, is the word rest. So there we have Shabbat is both a verb and Shabbat is a noun. So when it says to remember the Shabbat day, that is Shabbat as a noun. But the nouns in the African Shemitic language comes from the what? It comes from the verbs, the action. Even as Yahweh's own name, in a sense, is a very interesting type of a verb. It's an action, right? But Shabbat in the H7673, the root sense, it means to cease, to desist, and that is brought out here even in the translation as to rest. And the context of it is to cease, to desist, to rest from labor. Rest from that active labor, right? So in Genesis 2 and 2, it's talking about giving an overview in Moshe's first book of the work of the creation, as one say, or the recreation, right, as others may say. But this word Shabbat is interesting because I heard others look into it, look into the Strong's words, and there's a lot of truth there. But you have to understand how to interpret what you're reading. Because if you look at the Hefil sense of the word, it means to exterminate, to destroy. The word Shabbat as a verb means to cease and to desist, and in that sense to rest. But it also can mean from this root verb sense to cause something to cease, to put an end to something, even to exterminate, to destroy something, to remove something, to cause to desist from something, or to cause something to fail. That's just the sense of the Hebrew word. But now this word in the spirit of the word concerning Shabbat means to cease and to desist from one's occupational, or according to HaTorah, one's 6 days labor. Now, it's kind of interesting because today ones and ones don't really, you know, on average, if they have a regular job or something like that, they don't tend to work 6 days. right? Though it might feel like it, but no, intended. You know, the working week among the Gentiles is basically a 5-day working week, and then they say 2 days for the so-called weekend, right? But just to understand the first sense, the primary sense, right? So then we can make sense out of everything else that comes after. That's why we're going here to Exodus and went there to Genesis 2 and 2, just for the groundation, to remember, to call to mind, to be mindful, right, of the rest, right, the ceasing and desisting / rest day, to keep it holy. Now, it's interesting here, when you see the words to keep it holy, the word shamar, when it says to keep the Sabbath, in the next area where this is reminded to the children of Israel and to the righteous, it uses the word shamar. But here, to keep it holy in Exodus 20 and 8 is basically bringing out l'kadisho, 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 to keep it set. In other words, this day, what is different about this day than all other days? It's like in the Pesach, the Pesach Seder. What is different? Why is this night different from all other nights, right? Why is this day, right, this time period, this time and also time and mind period, right, different than the other times because of the fact that 6 days we should, well, let me go on and read on, Radio. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Another point of context that doesn't come out so easy in the translations, right? And we're not blaming the translation. It's English. English doesn't have these features that the African Shemitic languages like Hebrew and Amharic and Gutas has. So some things don't really come out so easy and didn't come out so easy. When it says 6 days shalt thou, the thou there is speaking to a singular male. Is speaking to Yisrael in singularity. Call Yisrael, all nine of Yisrael, all sons of Israel as one man, as one corporate body. You know, we are the bodies, the members of the body, and he is the Rosh, the Ras, the head. Yes? So in the context here, it's speaking to each Israelite, especially each Israelite male, member Zakar, remember, the verb, but as a kind of a noun and a noun adjective, it can be, right, it is brought out as male. So speaking to all the males of Israel. Just a point of reference, the majority of the instructions, directions in HaTorah are the responsibility exclusively of the males. It's like the whole Garden of Eden thing. It was basically Adam's responsibility. Even though Eve, she transgressed. But Adam was in disobedience, and the sin came down to Adam, right? Why? Because Adam was the one who was commanded. You didn't check that part out, right? And he should have stepped in, but that's a whole other reason meant there. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Shabbat. So right there, an important connection that's often neglected. We say, keep the Sabbath and the Shabbat. I'm keeping the Sabbath. Do the Sabbath, 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 Shabbat, Shalom. Yes. But is it really? Do you really receive? Is the Shabbat day, here's the question to ask, is the Shabbat a delight? For those who love us who seek to keep it and fulfill it, recognize that eternal covenant, right, between Yah and man, do you delight? Is the Shabbat, can you call the Shabbat a delight? On the Shabbat, do you seek with your mindfulness to rest and refresh? Not saying the world, flesh, satanic seclorum is always going to allow you that opportunity, so to speak, to do that. But is that your mindfulness? Because that's the command right there, right? That's what the command is. Let's go on right here. But the seventh day is the Shabbat of Yahuwah. Check this. It's the Sabbath of who? Of Yahuwah Eloheka, of he who be thy almighty powers. In it thou shalt do no, thou shalt not do any. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. And yes, hello, Ross Seymour. Yes, sir. And the reason, man, you know, he brought out a very important point, and I hope all ones kind of see these kind of points. Who is missing in that list right there? Right? Remember, it's who is speaking? Who is being spoken to, and what is being spoken, right? Who is speaking is Yahweh Eloheinu, Elohim Ha'av. It's Elohim the Father that is speaking. Some people might say it's Yeshua, but I would say if Yeshua is the Father's word, well, that's the word that you heard that became incarnate in the flesh in these latter days and times. But it's Yahweh Elohim Ha'ab that is speaking. Who is being spoken to? Israel. Israel, Yisrael Yasharala, is being spoken to as one man. I mean, all of us as mandem, but as one man. So each of us, both in our individual, indivisible dual capacity, the I and I, speaking to each member, we could say, of the body and the body collectively, right? And what is being said here? Thou, right? Speaking of the mind, to whom more is given, more is required. Nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. So we can see that here is speaking of the male, right? The Zakar, right? To Zakor, to remember, right? Also, for thy son not to do any work, nor for thy daughter. But notice it doesn't mention the Isha, the Eshet, the woman, the wife. Now, before some of y'all run off on the pseudo-sexist bandwagon, there is sexism in the world. But before, because you have to understand how the reason why it doesn't mention the Isha. Doesn't it say in the beginning, is it not written, that the man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become what? Huh? They shall become one. But another important reason, right, is this, is that women, right, according to HaTorah, are not bound as mandem or to time-orientated mitzvot. Men are bound, the males, the zakar, right? It says three times in a year shall all the males of Yasharal of Yisrael appear in the place where Yahweh Eloheinu sets his name. Does this mean that a woman cannot come to worship and to celebrate? Of course she can, but it's not incumbent upon her. And I said in the audible, in the reasonment that we had in the vibes and on the Rastafari Jews, part one is up there and part two to come. I said, you know, what I've heard many other ones say, like a woman's work is never done. Yes. But it's not because of some Western Gentile sense of sexism. It's because it was overstood that there are times and seasons, right, where a woman is obligated to do so because she's already taken care of covenant-keeping responsibilities. If a woman has a child, even if a woman is in a time or period of her uncleanness, there are periods and times when mandem can be unclean too. And when you look at it, it just mentions this one particular situation that's according to the nature of the Nekeba, the female. But when you look at the ones for the mandem, it's like a whole big list, you know, of times when men have issues. I ask whether a runny nose, a bloody nose, or, you know, or other kind of issues makes the man unclean. But for a woman, it was this one thing. But for our mind is many things. I want to point it out so we can prove that the pseudo-sexism is because of the ignorance, right, of the Hebrew foundation, right? So when it says right here that thou to the man, based on the principle of the man and the woman, right, coming together, they are one flesh. So that means if the woman is not able to make it, or she might be taking care of youths or children, like, you know, it's time to go to the bingi, or it's time to go to the gathering, right? And the woman, you know, she's taking care of, you know, the children or the family, or she is not able to, right? There is that exemption there. Now, of course, some might take this to an extreme, but Habarim is for I and I, just to tell you what thus sayest, what thus sayest. So the wife is not mentioned because of the oneness from the Hebrew perspective, you know, but men are bound to time orientated. Many of the commandments have to be done at a certain time, because for Yisrael, even in the spirituality, there's a particular military order to it. You know, there's a military order to it. Like the rank and file Israelites did not necessarily, you know, serve in the holy place. That was left up to the tribe of Levi, right? And the descendants of Aaron was anointed priests. But yet Yisrael had times where they were obliged, such as the manna, to attend. They are to bring their family, their woman, and their wives or wives. However, if for certain reasons, especially for taking care of youths or for health-related or times of the moon reasons, they are exempted. That's what it meant about being unclean. If a man has his bleeding, if a man is bleeding, he got a bloody nose that won't stop, he cannot trod, or he should not trod the holy courts, because that blood just flowing out is unclean. And it points to that, you know, enough detail. But let's go on right here, right? So the man, to the man of the house, to whom more is given, more is required, right? It's obliged upon him and for him and his household, right? Even it says, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. So even if one is not Yasharel, Yisrael, right? If they work in the week, you know, don't be doing that around here, basically, you know, within thy gates. Because otherwise, how are we going to ask the covenant-keeping Yahuwah? We're going to ask him, you know, to bless our gates, and yet we allow things that are plainly forbidden in our gates. But here's a little footnote point. Because we're living out of order in this latter-day Babylon. So a lot of times we as man them might be in situations where we still might be the man in the house, but it's not our gates. Check, right? And a true Hebrew, we understand that, you know, if I'm in a woman's gates, then it's her gates, you know, and by law, whether of man, right, or of Elohim, it is so. But I'm putting it within the ideal, the summit, as it's mentioned, the great summit that's destined for us by the great creator, right, coming up out of this Babylon. For in 6 days, Jehovah made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested. Now, here the word rest is different than the Hebrew word rest in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, is different from the word rest, the Hebrew word behind the King James translation in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. In chapter 2, verse 2, it's Shabbat as the verb. He ceased from his active work of the iration, the creation. You know, that part is done now. Now it's another part. Now other things to do. You know, the backdrop, the creation, everything has been rebooted. We see that whole thing as a reboot, but that's a whole other reason right there. Right? Here the word rested in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 is not Shabbat, but it's the word Nuach. Nuach. What is Nuach? Nuach. Nuach is Hebraically related to Noah, comfort in that sense, to rest, to settle down, to remain, to repose, right? To strike a pose, to repose, right? Almost like a reset before the new Shabuah, the new 7 days come forward, to have a rest, to be quiet, right? To cause to rest, to remain, to leave. The general idea of Nuach is to rest, to settle down. Now, there's a great variety of applications. It also can mean to comfort. So once again, with that understanding, and all that in them is, and he Nuach, he reposed. So it brings out two words, Genesis 2 and 2, Shabbat, to cease and desist from the act of creation, which brought forward that nuach, that repose from the creator aspects, habore aspects, right, to the maintainer, you know, the maintainer, sustainer of what he has brought into being, right? The Sabbath day, right, it says the seventh day and rested the seventh day, therefore, Yahweh, he who be, who he be, HaKadosh, the Holy One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, Baruch, blessed, Hashem, the name, bless the Shabbat day and hallowed it. Now that's KJV, right? KJV hallowed it. The word hallowed in the Hebrew is kadash. The root word is kadash, which in a applicative sense, right? Other than all the synonyms that we can give one, in an applicative sense, hallowed or kadash means to set it apart. Why is this day and this time and this sequence different from all other days? Because those 6 days, and this is the key for a good Shabbat keeping. A lot of people will talk about the rest. But what the Holy Spirit brought to mind when I found that I was doing it, you know, this is over like a couple of decades now, right? I was doing it, but it just wasn't, you know, when you're doing something, you're doing the do, you know what I mean? But you're like, others are testifying like they're getting more out of this than I'm getting. So what am I either doing wrong or what am I not understanding or what sort of mind do we have in us? Remember, recall, be reminded, call to mind, you know? And what it was those 6 days or the work and rest as the elders, the ancients, the kadmonim, the ones of the first time said, work and rest shall be all of the law. Work and rest shall be all of the directions, instructions. All right? Work and rest. There's a principle there. And this is the principle that we have here in the 10 words, right? And in the fourth of the 10 words called the fourth commandment. The Shabbat command properly is the fourth commandment. But if you're a Protestant or a Catholic, you probably look at it a little bit differently. Because they confuse you on what is written, right? But here is the resting can only be fulfilled if the first part of the process, 6 days you shall work. 6 days, the first 6 days work, and the seventh day is the prize, right? If the seventh day is the prize, in order to get the prize, like if the seventh day is the finish line, don't we have to begin off at the beginning of the race, like with the first, you could say 6 days. Now, like we said, nowadays one may not work 6 days, like, you know, 5 day working week, but the principle of working and resting, because everyone knows that has done it and experienced it. If you've really been working, anytime you ever been working for something that you really seek to do, you want to do, or you know you got to do, and you've been working, and then, like, you know, when you come home or whatnot, you're tired, right? Is not that rest sweet or sweet? Is it not sweet? That's why even Torah and the scriptures say that, you know, sweet is the rest for the working mind. And when I say mind, I'm not just saying the male or female, the male or female, the man or woman. For the person, the human being, so to speak, right? So that's the key right there, because a lot of us will just look at Exodus 20 and 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, period. So you got to remember the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath, do the Sabbath. But the full word is not just verse 8. These verses we'll put in later on. It's not just verse 8. It's verse 9. It's verse 10. And it's verse 11 before we come to the fifth command. Right, the fifth command. Let me just check this out. Yeah, the fifth command, which is to honor thy father and thy mother. Right, but the last word right here on this fourth word, for in 6 days Yahuwah made heaven and earth, the sea. Right. and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahuwah blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. So when I said to the brother, you know, Brother Asai, Hilo, Ras, Moshe, Brother Thomas, and when he said to I, he said, how do I? I said, rest. But it was such an interesting question that I'm taking the time right here on the TJIF to kind of just on the live go through some aspects of it, you know, because some things we've experienced, as we mentioned before, we were doing it. But as we focus on those days of work and activity to be about, right, some productive work or activity, you know what I mean? So that there can be that kind of contrast, you know. One thing about the Sabbath, we talk about how he created, you know, day and night and the evening and the morning, these different distinct time periods, you know, the contrast between day and night, you know, in the daytime, you know how it is, you're out about in the day, and then the night, you can see that change. But because of that contrast, we can get the fullness, right, of like to say life, liberty. And from the contrast here, even in this fourth command between keeping the Sabbath set apart, right? Remember, it's remember the Sabbath day. So there's two things, two main things here. Remembering the Sabbath day for a purpose, to do something, to set it apart. So they have to keep it holy, but really more correctly, they could have translated as remember or call to mind the Shabbat day to set it apart, to set it apart. Right? To set it apart from what? To set it apart from the other days. That's why in the flow of the spirit of the Hebrew, the next verse makes perfect sense. 6 days thou shalt labor. Remember? Remember. Call to mind the Sabbath day to set it apart. Apart and distinct from what? From the other 6 days where you do your occupational labor, right? You know, thou shalt do thy labor, right? And all thy work. And then there's a comparison, too, that we find in the fourth command, too. Do you catch that? Between what Yahuwah Eloheinu, he who be who he be, the almighty power, the almighty did with creation, according to HaTorah in the first book of Moshe, the book of Genesis, Bereshit, right? And what here he is commanding, covenant, in covenant. I want you to get that right there. This is in covenant. Right, so it's not about us proselytizing to other nations. If we say we're Israel, we should be showing a good example in doing this. You know what I mean? But 6 days work and then the Shabbat day rest. We're going to pause and pull up on this right here for right now. But this is one of the main points. So the first thing is to rest, to cease and desist from the activity. Now, if one is not doing any activity in those other 6 days, the question is, how can you really fully, you know, how can you really fully fulfill the Sabbath? You might seek to, it might be in your mind, not saying that you can't enjoy the rest day, you know what I mean? But the essence of it, it's almost like you're keeping this part of the word, right? Like we'd be keeping this part of the word, but then we'd be neglecting, you know, the other part of the word. And yet it is, as James said, Jacob said, it is all one. You know, the 10 words called the 10 commandments is all one. You could say command. It's all one command with 10 articles, right? It was 10 articles. But here, Shabbat Shalom, my brothers and sisters, send that salam. Going to pick up with a little more reasoning on that. Rest and refresh, right? And be refreshed. And the key, when we reach that summit, we could call the Shabbat a delight, where we delight ourselves not in seeking our own pleasures, right? Or speaking our own word, but because we recognize why, according to Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, why it is true when he said the Sabbath was what? It was made for man, not man. Man wasn't made or created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man because originally, according to the scripts, Yahuwah, this just brings out what Yah did himself. right, how he cease and desist from those 6 day or six periods that are called days of creation. And we're not talking about like a 24-hour day like some people may want to, you know, be naive, right? But creation periods. But here, thank you.
Thank you, Rastafari.
Yes, Rastafari. Yes, Rastafari. Yes, Rastafari.
Friday. Yay, yay, yay.
Yay, yay, yay. Friday is not Shabbat. It's Shabbat Eve. Evening and morning is one day. The day is the 12 hours or so. You know what I mean? As Yeshua said, know ye not, there's 12 hours in a day. So here's the prepping, you know, the prepping for the Shabbat. Preparing what? Prepping I and I hearts and minds for the fact to come.
Shabbat Shalom. A song for days of rest inside your home.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew.
Shabbat.
Him that sits up on the highest throne. From the heaven to the earth, angel and man abstain from birth, just as it was from in the first. Why should I diverge? Even love forsake vacation, traveling and spending time one-on-one. It's a way of strengthening their union. We should do the same thing with the Almighty One.
Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Church and the Professing EOTC, we say the Church of Brotherly Love, the true Church of His Majesty. What is said in the liturgy here on the Sabbath of the Senbet Eve, Zeg Adamit, right here, here, here.
Besim Ab, Wewelid, Womenfes Kedus, Ahadu Amla, Amla, Zeg Adamit, Yek Adamit, Besenbet Ken, 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 Ken. Meskel Abra, Samayin Bekoakibit, Shelleme, Kohulum Yilk, Zahayin Asaye, Meskel Abra, Samayin Bekoa Kibit
Shalem.
On the Sabbath Eve, the cross shined and had the heavens embroidered with stars. Of all the sun is seen, the cross shined and had the heavens embroidered with stars.
My God, it's full of stars.
His foundation is in the wall of mountain. Jealous is the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things have been spoken of the O city of God. I'll make mention to Rahab and Babylon to them that know I. With the old Philistine Tyria, with Ethiopia, it shall be said that this man was born there. And the highest himself shall establish the earth. Jah Rastafari.
My God, it's full of stars.
My God, it's full of stars. Full of stars. Full of stars.
There's that scripture where the enemy, the adversary, seeks to set his throne above the stars of God, the children of Israel and the righteous. But here we ride up right here. Heavens declare the glory. Here, Queen Africa here with Ayabingi chanting. We're going to follow up with a playing here of the Psalms that initiate the Sabbath time according to the Trod, Psalms 95 to 99 plus Psalm 29. But first right here, based on Psalm, let's see, she rides up with the heavens declare the glory. That Psalm, what is it, 18? Is it Psalm 18 right there or Psalm 19? Yeah, 19. Here. Yes, Chavarim.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Most High Celestial, Jah Rastafari. The heavens declare the glory of the Most High, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where thy voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Rastafari. Bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit upon the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Lightning. Everyone should know. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Most High is true, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Most High are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Most High is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Most High is clear, enduring forever. The judgments of the Most High are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, more than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over I. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Selah, Selassie. Everyone should know. And the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Most High, thy strength and thy redeemer. Dila, Selassie. Aya Inge.
Yes, yes, Shabbat Shalom. So here we can go through a little bit different right here, since it's all on that question right there of how should we, right, observe the Shabbat, as Yeshua would say, you know, according to what is written, right? Because in later times, in the first century times, where we get like where the Bible is speaking of Yeshua, the Word become flesh, we have the religious leaders. This is also another aspect right here. Just touch on this before getting into some of the fullness right here. We have today's daily psalm, Psalm 11. We had the 37th sabbatical study for Shalach Lecha, send for yourself or go for yourself. But right here, just to give a little overview right here, TJIF. So here we have to thank Jah Rastafari. It is Friday podcast, TJIF. And this is a little write-up that we wrote up a couple of years ago and, you know, tweaked it as we learned and grow. And I'm going to go over it once again right here for your hearing. Thank Jah. It's Friday. I know some will say, thank Yah. So be. Right? Thank Yah. It's Friday. Thank Jah. It's Friday. Has a completely different meaning than simply, you know, people say, thank God it's Friday, the TGIFers. Yeah, it has a completely different meaning for the Rastafari, the church of the firstborn, scripturally speaking, quote, church of the firstborn, called out assembly. And the faithful Black Jews, the Yehudim, Ethiopian Hebrews, of the synagogue, the Knesset, the Beit Knesset, basically the gathering together, scene together, gaga, right? You'll find that there's one psalm, let's just touch on this right here, you know, there's a psalm, which psalm is it? The psalm that speaks of the synagogue, and it's Psalm 74 and 8, where it says, they said in their hearts, let us destroy our enemies, adversaries. Let us destroy them, destroy them together. They have burnt up all the synagogues of God in the land. Psalm 78, verse 8. Just to kind of clarify, when you say synagogue, a lot of times people run to Revelation 2 and 9 and 3 and 9 and forget the context in their hearts and minds. Here we have the Hebrew, Amru, Belibam. Amru, they said Belibam. Belibam in their hearts. Ninam. Ninam will crush them, destroy them. Right? Ninam. Yahad. Yahad will destroy them as Yahad. Yahad as one. Shaf. Saf. Fu. Sar. Fu. Slika. Sar. Fu. Sar. Fu. Call. Mo'edei. El. Ba'aret. Degna. Full of verse. Amru. Bilibama. Ninam. Yahada. Sarfua. Call. Mo'edei. El. Ba'aret. KJV has, they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burnt up Sarfu, the Saraf, like the Seraphim, Saraf, the burners. Sarfu, they have burnt. Sarfu, call all Mo'edei, the Mo'ed, the Mo'edim. Now, what's interesting right here in the King James Version of the Bible at Psalm 74, verse 8, in the English, it has synagogues. They have burnt all the synagogues, right, which is more correctly in the Hebrew sense, from the Hebrew, mo'edei el, mo'edei el. They have burnt up all of the appointments, all of the meeting, the mo'ed, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation that we find in the Bible, in the Hebrew. We have the ohel mo'ed, ohel, a tent, mo'ed. Mo'ed is the same word for feast. Mo'ed is the same word for appointment, meeting, so the feast, the Mo'edei Yahuwah, the appointments of Jehovah, the seven of them in the three times in the year. We are after the fourth one now. We're looking forward to the end of the year, or roughly the September-October time period in the seventh month, seventh moon, for the last three of the seven. Those are the Mo'edim. Mo'edim, the appointments, the feasts, the festivals. The Mo'edei, the feast of. Mo'edei, feast of Yahuwah, feast of Jehovah, the appointments of Jehovah. So here in Psalm 74 and 8, the word that is brought out in the English as synagogues, when it says they have burnt up all the synagogues of God in the land. In the Hebrew, Sarfu, call, Mo'edei El, Ha El. We say like El Shaddai. And also we say Ha El, Ha, the El, the power, the almighty. And it comes from the ancient Afro-Shemitic of Chayel, Chayel, to the power, the powerful one, the almighty, the sense of might. Might and power, as is the name Haile Selassie, the translator said, the might and the power. Even though it's one word, they have to bring out two English words to try to bring out the spirit, right, of the Ethiopic. So the Hail, also in Hebrew, and the Ha'el. So here it says Mo'edei El, Mo'edei El, the meeting places. But it's not just speaking of the meeting places, but it's also speaking of the feast, the festivals, because on the feast and the festivals, we are to meet up together. When it says three times in a year shall all the males of Yisrael, right, present themselves in the place that Hashem, that Yahuwah, has placed his name. Now, there's an interesting connection with the Ark and the Ark of the Covenant, because the two tablets of the law of HaTorah, written by his own fingers, right? And he also says that above the mercy seat and between the cherubims, with the offering by the anointed high priest of the Ancients, will he speak with the Bnei Yisrael. So here it says, Sarfu, they have burnt up, called Mo'edei El, all of the meeting places. This is brought out as the meeting places, or in the true Hebraic sense, to use a Greek word, the scene together, gaga, gaga, gathering, the gathering together, the meeting places of El, of the almighty, of Ha'el, the almighty power, the almighty, ba'aretz, in the aretz, in the aretz, ba'aretz, in the land, be'ha'aretz, ba'aretz. So the Mo'edei El. Interesting. We say Haile Selassie, the power of the Trinity, right? Three times in the year. Blessed be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three patriarchs, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. First power, Father. But here we have Psalm 74 and 8. Just want to point that out because sometimes when we use this word, you know, ones will get a little, you know, twisted out of context. They're going to the end of the book, but don't have a good groundation in the beginning of the book. That's why Paul says to study to shew ourselves approved. So even in Revelation 2 and 9 and 3 and 9, 2 and 9 says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Interesting. Many of us will feel like, Chan, the works and trials and tribulation and poverty, but we may not know that spiritual richness, the light, right, the true light. And I know the blasphemy. What is blasphemy usually defined as? An insult to God, usually in the religious sense as an insult to God. But hear the language here. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Yehudim, they are Judeans or Judahites. In the English translation, they say Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue, a whole other church. It's like the church of Satan is not the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, but they are the synagogue of Satan, of the enemy, the opposer. Remember what synagogue means in its root sense, meeting together. They gather together. As the Psalms say, they gather together, they conspire together against Yahshua, against Yisrael. Revelation 3 and 9, behold, I will make them, this is a good one here, red letter. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, of Satan, like the church of Satan, which say they are Yehudim, that they are Judeans, that they are Judahites, that they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So even in the scriptural sense, when we study in the scriptures, we'll see that this is how the disciples of the rabbi, our rabbi, Rabbeinu Yeshua, they still gathered according to that structure of the Yehudim, as Yeshua himself says to the Samaritan woman, y'all worship that which you know not. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Yehudim. Remember what Yeshua said? He said to the Pharisees and scribes and others, he said that y'all have the keys of the kingdom. So that means what they observe. Yeshua said, observe what they observe, but don't do after their works. So ones may say, well, why do we study these things? To get a good groundation and foundation. Therefore, thank Jah, it's Friday, has a completely different meaning than simply, you know, in the worldly sense, thank God it's Friday. For I and I, the Rastafari Church of the Firstborn and the faithful black Jews of the synagogue, the assembly of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah Society, than for many others, just speaking for I and I selves in spirit and in truth. Sure, it's the end of the work week, for sure, right? But it's also a sacred time to livicate. Right, to set ourselves apart, to livicate ourselves, I and I, in the indivisible dual, individual, I and I, to explore I and I relationship with the Most High, right, with El Elyon, the Most High El, the highest, El, the Almighty Highest, Yah, Rastafari, depending on what branch, you know, of Yehudinet, which is called in the English Judaism, or the way of the Judeans, right? 8 minutes before sunset, before the sun leaves the present horizon, the Shabbat candles are lit and blessed. And I want to make a note right here by the woman, right, by the, you could say, the honorable woman of the house, right? So it could be a mother, it could be a grandmother, you know, it could be a daughter, you know, whoever gets that particular honor, you know, to say the baraka over lighting the lights. In the modern tribe, it would be lighting you know, candles. We may use candles today. But the key thing is lighting the lights, usually two lights, two candles, and it's the woman of the house that would light it when the family comes together for the Shabbat, and what we call like the Shabbat, you know, Seder, the Sabbath order, the sabbatical order. So the Shabbat candles are lit and blessed by the mother, the woman of the house, right? And the evening and the next day is, quote, a rest of love freely given, a rest of truth and sincerity, a rest and a refreshing in shalom and tranquility, in quietude and in safety. So we as spiritual Israelites, true Hebrews and just soul people, the Hebrew people of the book, have always used music in worship of Yah. Psalm 150 is a good example of that, right? Calling out the fullness of the musical accompaniment. In the first and second temple times, in the first and second temple times, know ye not, right, that your bodies are the temple? We're already in the third temple time. Run, go tell the other Yehudim, right? The Levites, Halloween, we don't have to build a stone structure. The new temple time has come because Mashiach has come. Halloween, the Levites engaged in the first and second temple times in vocal as well as instrumental, right? Instrumental. I just got to point that out. Instrumental. You see the mental, the mind, right? Music that's good for the heart and mind, and instrumental music with the liturgy, the holy service, the Kaddish Kedase, being sung chorally. When we say chorally, it's like the call and response and antiphony, a call and a response. It's like when the priest will say, hallelujah, hallelujah, all of y'all, exalt, big up, Yah, he who be the Savior, right? And the people, some of the women, some of the men too, you know, with the sound of the halal, the eluta, in the Ethiopic sense, the eluta, right, to Yah. The intent, the mind is to Yah, hallelujah, right? Hallelujah, elelu. Now, the secondary sense of that is praise. But the literal, many things were actually, you could say literal, right, and natural, right, before they have become understood in its spiritual and its refined way. Remember, man fell. Humanity fell. So when humanity fell, after the gun, the Aden, they were rock bottom. So now they're on a spiritual, psychological evolution, especially the Israelites and those who have been called from Abraham forward, right? And this is where we come to the new covenant, right? And Yeshua, Rabbeinu, can say what he says. He can point to those literal types, like the animal type, right? Like the temple being the building type, know ye not, and the tabernacle being that tent, but your body is a tabernacle. You know what I'm saying? To that full type. This is what the Almighty intended, but he is very patient, right, and gracious and long-suffering. So we as spiritual Israelites and soul people, right here, 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 gathered together on the ear and in the ear, just to give one the kind of an overview. And with that, we say Shabbat Shalom, right, and Yeshua Shalom, Senbet Salam, and Yesu Salam. So right here, 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 the invocation, as we pointed to, that roughly, depending on what branch of Judaism and what teaching and kind of custom they might have adopted based on their understanding of the word, before sunset, right? Generally speaking, before the sun has left the horizon, because that right there, when it first begins to leave the horizon, it's off the horizon, evening, that comes into the fullness of the evening time, right? According to what Josh says in the beginning. The Shabbat candles are lit and are blessed. So here, here, let's keep it lit. Give thanks, Sister Mary Rose Yisrael, Yasharala, for this word sound here.
Messianic candle lighting blessing for the Shabbat in the Hebrew and the English tongue. Baruch atah Yahweh, Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav, Vizivanu Lehiot Ur Lagoyin Banatan Lanu Et Yehoshua Mishianu Ur Ha'olam. Blessed is Yahweh Almighty, our King of the universe, who sanctifies I and I, we, Yahweh's people, with his commandments, and commanded I and I, we, Yahweh's people, to be a light to the nations, and who gave to I and I, we, Yahweh's people, Yehoshua, our Messiah, the light of the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks, Army Gideon right there, featuring Ross on Bessa Tafari right there. The perfect sabbatical ringtone right there. Yes, I. Ross Tafari. So before we ride out right here, I'd like to go through some of the basic, you know, tried and traditions that do not contradict the scripture, you know, or you could say good, holy sense of observation. You know, the basic idea of Shabbat is rest. Right, is that rest. And some of the baraka, the blessings, we can get into that scripturally speaking as well. But right here, I'd like to share this from a little book that I got back in the 80s, right, from the public library, 87 or so. It's called Learn Hebrew for English Speakers. It's by one named Philip Blackman. So it's interesting. I always like that right there. Philip Blackman. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, and you know, black men were called Ethiopian. So here we have on Friday Eve, the eve of the Sabbath. Bayom HaShishi Be'erev Shabbat Lifnota Arev Mitzvah Lekol Ish Leket LeBeit HaKnesset Be'od HaYom HaGadol We Yikach Gam Banayo Ito Le Hita Palel Tefilat Kabbalat Shabbat. The English here, on Friday, the eve of Sabbath, towards evening, it is the duty, a duty for every man to go to the house of the gathering. Here it has Beit HaKnesset, the synagogue, the gathering, while it is still light. Let me go over, while it's still light, and he should take his sons, his children also with him to recite the prayer of the inauguration. It has here, but initiation of the Sabbath, what's known as the Kabbalat Shabbat. And we've been sharing that basic order, the Kabbalat Shabbat, especially with the Psalms 95 to 99, plus Psalm 29. So riding those up in Isis and chant and song and prayer, you know, but in praise, let's put it like that, in praise. Then it says this right here. It says, lifnai sayat ha kokabim anachnu madalikim nerot kabod hashabbat. Before the stars, ha kokabim, before the stars appear, we light candles, or here it has nerot. We light lamps. We light lights in honor, likvod, in honor of the Sabbath, likvod ha Shabbat. So that was right there that we had shared, you know, our sister Mary Rose, Yisrael, that word sound. It's a little bit more right here on what the usual traditional observation. So this goes on like, so Friday comes in. Friday is kind of sometimes for many observant ones. Also the King of Kings, Katamari Haile Selassie, and Ethiopia in his times, he shall shoe, right? In his times, we get to see that even on Friday, many of the businesses in Addis, you know, and throughout other cities were closed, like early, were closed earlier on Fridays, and His Majesty as well, a Shabbat observer as many of the Ethiopians, because the first day, which is known as Sunday, Ehud, is very important. So how can you begin off like the first without fulfilling the other set? So this is why they would say that Ethiopians and other early Christian church ones would keep, some say, two Sabbaths. No, actually they will fulfill by the week, the Shabbat, right, and begin off the first day right in Moshiach, resurrected Moshiach, on that first day service. But here, after that, after lighting the lights, right, the cantor or the chanter, the one who will be leading the service, you might say like the MC, you know, who will be leading it, or the host, as it were. But the cantor, the chanter, accompanied by the choir, stands upon the platform and sings and reads the prayers. Right? All the men and women, old and young, they pray and they sing too. So some sections are like the prayers, as we have shared here on the TJIF podcast, and some of them will be sung, like some of the songs to be sung. After the evening service, so now after this evening service, roughly if sun goes down at, say, 7, right, the sun is off of the horizon or getting off of the horizon around 7 or so, right, it would be all between maybe 5:30, you know, or 6 o'clock. Ones would go into the gathering and gather together. You know, so the mind them taking their children, taking the sons. Some women would also, but some women would be at home, because remember, there's a home service as well, right? So ones would basically finishing up the work week, would go into the holy gathering, gather together, give thanks and praise, you know, for an hour or maybe an hour and a half or so. You know, all depends on the community, right? But as the evening pushes more in, they return to their gates, right? So after the evening service, each man returns to his house, and he recites what's known as the sanctification prayer over the wine and bread. So over the bread and the wine. There's the bread on the sabbatical's table, right? And then there's the wine or the chalice, which is blessed, right? At the end of a hearty meal, this is like the family meal, so the mind go, gathers other mind them, you know, the real church, we as the body gathering together for the head sake, you know, and then we go forward, you know, to our individual gates, you know, or the woman of the house, especially, you know, the righteous woman, have that prepared, you know, and there's also a service that many families engage in, and the woman, you know, of the house has an important function as well that's recognized. Of course, at the fulfillment of the service, near the fulfillment of it, the man, or sometimes maybe earlier on, depends, the man should read, the man of the house, you know, should read Proverbs chapter 31, focusing on verses 10 to 31 that speaks of the Eshet Chaya. What is or who is the Eshet? Eshet or Set? Eshet, the woman, chayil, of power, the woman of valor, or in translation called a virtuous woman. So it's kind of interesting, the sabbatical home Seder for Yehudim, for Judeans, Judahites, and the ancient tribe of Judah would be that the woman would begin off with the baraka, with the blessing, right, and lighting the lights, right? And then as the service goes through, the man would come in and seal up with the virtuous woman. And I think that is a very liberating compared to all that woman have been told, even sometime biblically, that was wrong. It's a very interesting here, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. And then in the Hebrew sense, a virtuous woman is really the woman of power, the woman of chayim, you know what I mean? And all of her, you know, responsibilities and privileges as well. So when it says like the woman's supposed to be like barefoot and so-called pregnant or with child, yeah, maybe from time to time, but she also can have business and own land and other things. So I wonder where people get these strange ideas. They're probably looking at other ancient people and not the Torah observant Israelites. But before retiring, or at the end of the meal, right, the grace after meals is said. There's what we call the grace, the baraka, the blessing before meals, and then there's the grace after meals. Some people say it's interesting that sometimes Yehudi, you know, would not, you know, give like a blessing after the meal. It's really a grace after the meal. But on sacred and holy times, baraka, blessings are given before and the grace afterwards. But before retiring, like to bed, ones and ones would read. We would read and study. Blessed the mind, you know, to show that good example, study in the HaTorah, in the five books of Moshe, the Pentateuch, the weekly Torah portion. So it is usually, as one's working six days, coming to the eve of the Shabbat time like this, you know what I mean? Time is when one will go over some of the basics of this sabbatical study, this Torah reading and feeding, you know, read over it, meditate on it, you know. I'm pointing to Isaiah chapter 58, the last like two verses there, where it says that we should not seek like our own pleasure or speak our own words. The sense of that prophetic oracle there in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, Isaiah the prophet, it brings out the full sense that we should be speaking his words. During the work week, we have to deal with business and talk a lot of other kind of words, you know, for whatever we got to do, our occupational labor. But now we have time and opportunity to recite his words and to dwell and speak his words and reason on his word and set our mind on his word. This also is part and parcel of that remembering HaShabbat. And then the new day, the Sabbath day, just to give you this one right here, on the morrow, the next day in communities, especially in communities, right? The Sabbath day, early in the morning, all the congregation, all the gathering will go to the gathering, right, to the morning or the dawning service in closely knit communities, or we're all living in the same intentional community, kibbutz or kibbutzim or what have you. It's easier, you know, for us, a sabbatical park, you know, and dawning service. And also there's the after midday services where there's also the reading and participation in what's called like the afternoon service in many communities. Now, this is not directly commanded, but we notice morning and evening, morning, noon, and evening, you know, I will praise thee. We see this pattern within the Psalms and elsewhere. This is one of the reasons why we say that these particular tribes and traditions, if done properly with the right mind, are very good. So be mindful. Yes, I, Rastafari. So right here, just to give ones and ones that overview right there, sabbatically speaking, and also in the Torah and the scripture points of reference. Shabbat shalom, send the salam. Let's ride up with the psalm, Psalm 95 to 99, plus Psalm 29 after this, right here.
Rastafari is Almighty. Rastafari is Almighty. Ever living, ever faithful. Ever sure. Ever living, ever faithful. Ever sure. Ever living, ever faithful. Ever sure. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, because he is King of kings, of stars, country, land, and tribe of Judah. Yeah, he's the only King of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is our only future. Hey, yo!
You know, I really love that one there from Mr. Kalonji Sizzler right there. The world shall see right there. The Shabbat. He's the king of the Shabbat. And the Shabbat is our only future. And it seems as though the ideal heaven or paradise is like a kind of eternal sabbatical, you know, from how it is described elsewhere. Just wanted to share because ones have kind of asked guys certain things about the new name and some saying, well, it's not Rastafari or whatnot. But what they don't recognize, I guess, some things get lost in translation or because of lack of translation, proper translation. Rastafari, the head to be reverenced, be feared, right, respected. It's actually one of the names of he who be who he be. He who be who he be, the gracious, the kind, the generous, the forgiving, he be the head, right? Yah, El, is the head, right? The God and Father, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the head to be reverenced. Also, the name Haile Selassie is the name of Yahuwah, the first power. The Father is the first power. You know what I mean? The Son, the Word, that the Father raises up, and that name, even the name of the Son, right? Father and Son is one. But the Father is greater than the Son. But essentially, the Word is one with the speaker. So right here, 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 let's rise up the chant right here, here, here. Psalms 95 to 99, we're going to just bring forth the plain, you know, plain a cappella, KJV-wise, right here, here, here. Hopefully ones can learn the appropriate names to upgrade from the Lord and God, you know what I mean? But, you know, in spirit and in truth, yes, I.
So I, children, sing and praise thy power, even the first power of the Holy Trinity, and the Maui, Haile Selassie. My name ready, my name ready, my name ready.
Psalm 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest, 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 my rest. Psalm 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth, 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 with his truth. Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth sore and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness, his holiness. His holiness, his holiness, his holiness, his holiness, his holiness, his holiness. Psalm 98. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, and rejoice, and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity, with equity, with equity, with equity, with equity, with equity, with equity. Psalm 99. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies, and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answeredst them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. 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 Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. 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 People with peace.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Senbet Salam, Senbet Salam, Senbet Salam, Senbet Salam. Sabbath peace, Sabbath safety, Senbet peace, rest safely, rest. The true rest and peace is in Christos and in Him. Salam.
Yes, Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam. Now, usually after Psalm 29, you know, comes forward, we have the Ana B'Koach, kind of a mystical prayer composition speaking of the divine attributes of Yahuwah, of He who be, we be, of HaKadosh, of the Holy One. Blessed be He, blessed be the name. And then that usually segues right there to Lekha Dodi, come my beloved to meet the bride, the queen of days, the Shabbat. Now these often in congregation coming together and song and singing and reflecting on the words and the meaning are good. We're going to share that, but we also like to touch on today's, you know, today's daily song. And today's daily psalm is Psalm 11. So hopefully we have enough time before the fulfillment of this podcast, having the fullness of the grace period, the, like the final Iowa. We'd like to share that like as a kind of a seal up, some of that in sealing up. But here in the psalmistry, right, the psalms together, we had Psalm 95, Psalm 99, plus Psalm 29. And then we have Psalm 93 for the sixth day, you know, the evening of the sixth day, you know, the Friday. And then we have for the Sabbath day, the psalm appointed Psalm 92. But on the Kabbalat Shabbat, as we welcome the Sabbath, the order is somewhat reversed, right, with Psalm 92 preceding Psalm 93, and Psalm 93 seals it. So we'd like to just go through this right here, and then we can kind of segue to another psalm, right, the daily psalm here, Psalm 11. So the Ana B'Koach, we'll go through that, as well as Lekha Dodi. Those are some of the additionals, you know, both in the gathering together, right, as well as, you know, in the home. But we like to share that, but because of time considerations, we're going to just ride up right here with Psalm 92 here for the TJIF.
Psalm 92.
Thank you.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Ja, Rastafari.
Drum, Rastafari. Drum, Rastafari. Drum, Rastafari.
Friday. Yay, yay, yay.
Yay, yay, yay. And right here, Psalm 93. Friday, the sixth day, the evening psalm. Right here, he heard Friday song, TJIS.
Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever, 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 forever.
Yes, Shabbat Shalom, send that salam. Here, just a little Rhema tune, a right now tune right here to compliment Psalm 93, the Friday evening psalm. Here, sealing up the Kabbalat Shabbat, the welcoming, Kabbalat Kabbalah Shabbat, Kabbalat, the welcoming, receiving the Shabbat, Psalms 95 to 99, Psalm 29, Psalm 92, the Sabbath Psalm, sealing with the Friday evening Psalm, Psalm 93, and this tune right here, Ras Zachari, Ras Zachari, Yarein, Jarein's right here, here, here.
Yeah!
How excellent is thy name, the one set thy glory above the heavens.
Yahweh El Shaddai. Whoa. Whoa. I'm grateful, the sun shines for us, and your heart lifts up his eyes and up. Greatness in all things. Jah is the mightiest, none is mightier than Jah. Jah is the greatest, none is greater than Jah. Cannot be conquered. Cannot be conquered. And live again.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jaren, Jaren, Jaren.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jah live and live again. Up in your head. Whoa.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jaren, Jaren, Jaren.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jah live and live again.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jaren, Jaren, Jaren.
Over hills and valleys and plains,
Jah live and live again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shabbat Shalom, send
Shabbat
Shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
My trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright.
Beholding the upright, so right here. Yes, I, yes, I. 90 seconds, y'all. 90 seconds. We're getting into the grace period right here, the final Iowa. So I'd like to zoom in on today's daily psalm. But first, right here, 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 just double-wise the English again plus the Hebrew, and then get into a particular area in the beginning of the psalm that you need to hear right here, here, here. So yes, I. Let's ride up, ride up, ride up. Clean up your heart.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
מזמור יוד א' למנצח לדוד. ואדוני חסיתי, איך תאמרו לנפשי, נודי ארחם ציפור. כי כי הנה הרשעים ידרכון קשת, כוננו חיצם על יתר, לראות במו אופל לישרי לב, כי השתות יהרסון, צדיק מה פעל. אדוני בהיכל קודשו, אדוני בשמיים כסאו, עיניו יחזו, אף אפיו יבחנו בני אדם. אדוני צדיק יבחן, ורשע ואוהב חמאס שנאה נפשו. ימטר על רשעים פחים, אש וגופרית ורוח זלעפות מנת כוסם. כי צדיק אדוני צדקות אהב, ישר יחזו פנינו.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their power. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The countenance, the upright, 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 the countenance.
I am that I am, mighty and thunderable, exabir masakan, gramau, irasvatar, madani, alam, tina, isteling, the ghost, na ghast. Saiki, ubya, saiki, ubya, saiki.
Father, and son. Father, and son. Father, and son. Father, and son. Father, and son.
And there's a little excerpt here from the Midrash. May not have time to go through the full of the Midrash. Midrash, like to study. Midrash, like to reach, to study, when it says like to seek him, you know, Doresh, to seek him from his revealed word, study of the word right here. This is a section from today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, on the master and disciple. That the master and disciples are in exile. And so in particular construction in the Hebrew, in the beginning of the psalm, the Nodu and the Nudi. Some notes right here. Yes, sir.
That is interesting. Oh, it's right here in front of me. Okay. Right here. All right. Here it goes. It's in the Midrash on Psalm 11, Yod Aleph. That is interesting. Oh, it's right here in front of me. Okay. Right here. Here it goes. It's in the Midrash on Psalm 11, Yod Aleph, Psalm 11. And it's in the first perek, the first section of the Midrash Tehillim. And it's a part with the opening verse, flee thou as birds to your mountain. So the Midrash is explaining some of the details. The Midrash is explaining some of the details of the psalm. And since this psalm has like a ketib, the way it's written, katab, like to write, and a kere, the way it's kara, the way it's called out, the way it's recited, right? Or like how it's mentioned by name, so to speak, right? This particular psalm, Psalm 11, and it's the verse that reads, it could either be written in an unpointed sense, as is here in the Tehillim, nodu, but then the kere is nodi, or some would enunciate as nudu, and some will pronounce it as nudi. Now, when you look at the script here, it's a known wawei, dalet, and wawei, or known wow, dalet, and wow. Or some will say nun, vav, dalet, vav. Basically, N-W-D-W. So you have N-W-D-W, which among some speakers, the N and the W, the ne and the we, could be no, or new. But the new do would be saying to you all, and the new D would be speaking to she. or the no-D. If I say no-D, I'm saying to like an individual feminine. In other words, either a woman or in speaking to the psyche, to the nefesh, to the soul. That's in male and female, which is she, right? I'm saying to her to flee. I'm saying flee, right? So here in bringing out this point, it says, flee thou as birds to your mountains. Then Rav Acha had taught that the Bnei Yisrael, the sons, children, or the Israelites went into exile. The nations, as the children of Israel went into exile, the nations of the earth, the Goye Ha'aretz, right, the Goye, the Goyim of the Aretz, of the earthly plane, intended also to exile Ha'el, Ha'elohim, the true good, the true God. The true Trinity is the Hebrew Trinity from Mekomo, right, his place. You know, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from his place, Mekomo, right, and said, let the master as well as his disciples flee into exile. So Rav Acha, right, was bringing out this sense of when the Bnei Yisrael, when the Israelites went into exile, the heathen, the Gentiles, the so-called pagans of the earth, they intended also to exile Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, or we say Jah, from his place. And they said, let the master, right, Harav, as well as his disciples, Talmudo, Talmudayo, as well as his disciples, flee into exile. Now, that point right there is the point that we seek to bring out right here, is that what was being said right here to Israel, for them to flee into exile, the disciples, the Israelites, the sons of Israel, was also being said to the master. So it's interesting that another role of our call and the gospel of the kingdom, right, is to establish the rule, the reign, and the authority of the words of his majesty and the authority of his point of view, his way, Yahweh, truth and life. You know what I mean? In other words, I hear some say, I was thinking about this while I was hearing a few videos, different Israelites and different camps would speak of returning to the land, or even the other Jews, right, would talk about, you know, the promised land or returning to the land or the land. And then there's Psalm 2. You recall Psalm 2? Psalm 2 says to ask. Remember what Psalm 2 says? Psalm 2 right here, it says, ask of me and I will give the nations for thine inheritance and the ends of the earth for thy possession. So it says, ask of me, Sha'al mimeni, ask from me, right? And he says that he will give, he says, we'etana, right? He will give goyim, he will give the goyim, the nations, the nationality, all nations, nachlat, for your inheritance, for your male inheritance. And then it goes on in the next part of the verse to say, and the ends of the earth, and the ends of the earth for thy possession. Wa echuzatika, and your possession, what you seize, what you maintain, the sense of like what you hold in your grip, in your hand. Afse aret, the ends of the earth. So, in looking at this, yes, there's the promised land in that sense, you know, when we look at the scriptures and the historical and prophetic and the order of things and even in the coming out of exile, but the exile is like twofold there. The exile is the physical exile of the Bnei Yisrael, of the sons of Israel, right, into all these different nations, right? Most of them, the majority of them, we say hostile. There's always an exception to the rule, right? Now, that's the Ethiopia exception there, but we'll touch on that. That's part of the original reasoning here, the Kushim, right, the Bnei Kushim and the Bnei Yisrael. But then there's a secondary sense, right, of the exile, right?
coming out of this exile mentality where we think it's just only about the land. It's about the earth, establishing the kingdom, right? The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But because of the disobedience of the sons of Israel and the consequence of disobedience being exiled, they being exiled from their place, right? Because they were exiled, they exiled themselves, right? They alienated themselves from their responsibility. Because if they fulfill their responsibility, then that fullness of it is to all the nations of the earth, right? Regulating all nations of the earth. It's not like some Israelites have this almost like, I'll call it like a post-traumatic slave mentality. They have a post-traumatic slave mentality, right? And the psalm, today's psalm, and many of the psalms address this kind of, especially the psalms during the lower seasons, the winter moons, you know, because that's the other side of it. It's almost like going through the wilderness, going through the difficulties, being, you know, being in exile, but pointed in, right, or at least being pointed in the direction to return. But the struggles amongst themselves and amongst ourselves, individually and corporately, right, to get our heads and our hearts right and be obedient and do what we're called to do. And first of all, understanding what is it that we're called to do. So the saying to the master, so when we look at the Hebrew, one is nudu or nodu, right? You all, y'all flee. So that's the B'nai Yisrael. Then the other is nodi, nudi, she flee, right? Now, when you think about it, people say, well, how is it the master? Because the other way of the kere pointing of it, now the kere pointing of it is nudi or nodi with the e, with the yod at the end. So the difference, if you could look at the Hebrew, if you look at the Hebrew, you'll see the wow, right? The wow glyph and the yod glyph. The yod glyph or the yud glyph is shorter. In other words, the wow glyph is just longer. It's like drawing a long line and drawing a short line, right? You know, a vertical line. You draw like a short line, like a half of a line, and then drawing the whole line. Or drawing a quarter of the line, right? And then drawing the other three quarters of the line. That's the difference in the glyph. So some see it as perhaps part of that glyph was worn out, had worn out, or like in some writings, you know, maybe it was a manuscript or whatever, manuscript error. But the main part is the verb agreement with the noun. Because it says, how say ye to my soul? How do you say, like, to my soul? Ek, ek, tomru, linafshi, ek, right? Ek, ek, or in a certain sense of ek, 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 like, ek, ek, you know, ek. You know, tomru, like ech, like why, how. And what's interesting is that the word ike or ek in the Hebrew is the word for lamentation. It's almost like the sound that one makes. Ech, 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 ech. You know, ek. You know, like my, it's so disgusting. How can you say this to me? You know, tomru lenavshi, tomru. Tomru is like saying to you all. How can y'all say, like I'm speaking to y'all, and I say, hey, tomru linafshi. Like, how are you saying linafshi, to nafshi, to my soul? Now, the nefesh, or the nafesh, the nefesh is she. So therefore, what's being said is like, how did you say to her, and in the Shemitic and many languages, you will have to change the quote to reflect who you're speaking to. You see what I'm saying? So there's two forms. One is the plural form. That is the ketab, the ketib, actually. The ketib, that is katava, that is written. And then the other is the kere, that is suggested by the scholars, ha-rabim, like the scholars of Memheran, the scholars of Torah, because it's more in agreement with the, you know, with the noun, the verb and noun agrees. So in other words, for nafshi, Nudi or Nodi, right? For Nafshi, Nudi, because we're speaking to she, right? But what's written is Nodu, flee all of y'all. Harikem, Harikem. Now note this right here. Here's what's interesting. The Harikem, Har is mountain. And the Kem part right there is the suffix that says you all, like y'all mountain, right? So if somebody says to us, Harikem, they're saying our Har, I and I Har, right? Harikem, saying y'all Har, right? The Har, like Harar, right? So it says Harikem, Sipor, Sipor. Like, who was Moshe's wife, right? Moses, I'll say first wife, right? According to the scriptures, Moses' first wife was Tzipora, Tzipora, right? Tzipora, Tzifora, Tzifora, you know, Tzipora. So here we have Tzipor, which is the sense of Tzipor here is the more of the masculine sense, because the para, the ah at the end, more emphasizes the femininity, you know, of it, right? But let's just look this up right here, right? Just to be right, keep it right and right, keep it right, Ah, the ah at the end more emphasizes the femininity, you know, of it, right? But let's just look this up right here, right? Just to be keep it right and accurate, because Sipor also being a little bird is considered a feminine. So there's basically two forms of Sipor, right? It's not Sipora, right? Because then others might have interpreted it as being Hebrew scripture that you're speaking about, oh, flee to the mountain. Our mountain is the same as Moses' wife's name. But in the root of it, the Tzipor is like a little bird, like a sparrow or like a little, you know, the little birds, they hop. So the idea of it is like a little hopping bird. So we have the singular, right, sense of it here. Like all of us is like one bird. Right, one bird. So the plural sense agrees with the harikem, like no do or nu do harikem. Flee y'all mountain. Then we have sipor. It says bird. So taking it just as it's written, it says, how can y'all say to my soul, flee y'all mountains to y'all mountains, right, you bird. Anyway, how can y'all say to she, flee y'all to your mountains. So Hebraically, there's not a lot of, there's no really confusion when you're looking at it from a Hebrew mind, right? Because there's layers of interpretation that wrap up all the possible senses. You know, it's almost like multidirectional right here, right? But the Kere and the Ketiv reasoning just adds depth to it, and also interpretation and application. You know, because then it makes us think about birds, right? Because the Tzipor is the Hebrew collective singular, right? As the subject of the verb. Flee y'all bird. Flee y'all bird, right? Flee y'all bird, flee y'all. Yeah, but the sense of bird should be just emphasized that it's not flee y'all birds. Y'all are birds, but y'all are one bird. Flee y'all. So the exiling of Israel was the exiling of the master. And by exiling of the master and the nation of the earth exiling the master is like the world that we have today. You know, a world of injustice. You know, a world of ratchetness, of craziness, violence, you know, all kind of, you know, it's like the earth is not a planet. The earth is a plane. But a lot of people say the earth is a planet. And in a sense, that is true when you understand that planet is a wandering star. But it's not so much that the earthly plane itself is wandering, but people are wandering on the earthly plane. They have caused, because their conscious or their lack thereof, right, the fallen state have caused the reality to be like wandering. It's like a wandering star. So the way they're living on the earthly plane is like a wandering star, and there's so much wandering that they call the plane a planet. Even when one's let ones know that a planet is a wandering star. Like, for example, if you look at the wandering stars in the heavens, right, the wandering stars in the heavens, they go backwards. they actually go backwards. It's interesting. They kind of go backwards. So it's like the heavens move like one of those old, you saw it during the medieval time. They had circles like for the globe or so-called. The first globe that was imagined was celestial, just to point it out. The first globe that was imagined was celestial. And the celestial is in for stars because the heavens is a circle around the earthly plane. And that's what some of those old kind of globe-like things were displaying. Right? I noticed how many times I watch these documentaries or in movies, and they have these, you know, when they show you like all the continents, they show you all the continents, and they show you a flat, and then you've seen this before. They show you a flat first, and then they wrap it around as a ball. Even in many scientific latter-day Western Gentile scientific productions or science fiction productions, and I was watching Stargate one day, and they had the flat map, right, that they use. Even I looked in some things where they show allegedly in some military kind of control command centers, and they show you some of the large maps they have, and all of them are flat maps too. You know, and they're doing precision kind of stuff on a flat map. They're not using the globe, but sometimes in some of the movies, they'll show you the flat one, like in one Stargate episode, and then they wrapped it around. Like it was a CGIF kind of thing. They wrapped it around as a ball, and then they spun the ball, and I said, look at that right there. You know, while they were studying it, pointing out all the technical details of what they had to do, right, or what's going on, right, they're using the flat right there, and then because they say it's a projected, you know, they try to say that the flat earth maps are projections, right, of the globe onto flat, but really, see, that's how they flip it around. It's really the globe is a projection of the flat, you know what I mean, of the flat. But all that upside down mix up and backwardness is a symptom or one of some of the symptoms of what the psalm speaks of concerning exiling the master, right, and his disciples. You know, so in bringing forward a reasoning that builds on that would be, okay, it's not just going against it's Christ. People say, okay, Christ. Well, Christ itself basically means, well, from Creo. Right, and Creo means anoint. Now, think about the reasoning we can have in the whole Creo thing, right? Because we understand what Creo really is and how it reflects us as once lost, now found, so-called Negro, so-called, you know, black peoples here in these Americas and Caribbean, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's very important. But there's the white Creo, the white anointing, right? It's like Sizzla Kalungi. He has this tune, which is tune, The Enemies. I think it was that one, The Enemies. We played that audio. We did a kind of a dub plate loop, you know, on that right there. The enemies are confounded, you know, where Sizzle takes that verse, the area of the scripts, you know, and he puts into his relic, you know, the enemies are confounded, you know, the enemies are confounded and everything like that, you know, they've confounded themselves, you know, but anyway, just a little bit more on that right there, because that's today's psalm, Psalm 11, but that connection right there with the Kere and the Keti and the exiling of the master. So the white Christ, oh, my bad, Shikrita, Salakia, right, Suna. The other tune, here's the other tune, No White God, No White God. That one right there, No White God, right? See, but they enforce upon us, they want us to have, right, their white God, right? The white God, that white Christ, is Antichrist. The black Christ is the Messiah, the Moshiach, scripturally, biblically, right? And according to the prophecy. That's the difference right there. Getting caught up on the point about language, linguistics, and then I'm hearing these guys talking English, it's like the funniest thing. But that's a part of the cognitive dissonance, right? Because when the brothers start to recognize, okay, this brother here is saying that we are just going against this Greek stuff, believing that it's all white people stuff, and don't recognize our influence, is because you don't know yourself. When you start to grow even more, you begin to recognize, okay, we are using English, right? We're using English. So if you make a real good point in English or write a book in English, and somebody hundreds of years later on, our own people, start to say that it has no relevance because through some weird, weird falling of us, the white man is back in charge again, right? He's back in charge again. And he's taken those writings of our people and twisted them to his own advantage. You know what I'm saying? And as it says in the scripts, you're brought back, you're resurrected, according to that exquisite Hebrew idea. But resurrection was a Hebrew idea before it was called a so-called Christian idea, right? You know, the Moshiach rises, Israel's rises, because we have fallen. Because we have fallen, we shall rise, right? Because we have been slain, we shall revive. You know, that's our thing. You know, that's like our Costa Nostra. Right now, so if I say Costa Nostra, then people say, oh, it's an Italian thing, and therefore the Italians now created my whole reasoning. Are you mad? 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 Are you mad?
Yo, don't seduce to reduce my knowledge, because I will always break down barriers and burn down bandits. Oh, Lord God Almighty, grant me our privilege. You see, I have to overcome all wicked. Them and them fast things. I have no white God. Don't teach me anything wrong. Who the white God save me from? White man oppression. I have no white God. It's just some love messiah. My white God don't bless. So him not blesses. I have no white God. Don't teach me anything wrong. Who the white God save me from? White man oppression. I have no white God. It's just some love messiah.
Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away from here. Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from, far away from.
Wait, Johnny.
Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away from here. Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from, far away from.
If the white man has the idea of a white God, let him worship his God as he desires. We have found a new ideal. Because whilst our God has no color, and yet it is human to see everything through one's own spectacles, and since the white people have seen their God through their white spectacles, we have only now started to see our God through our own spectacles. We believe in the God of Ethiopia, the everlasting God, and we shall worship him through the spectacles of Ethiopia. Do you know what it is to be a man? To be a man is to bear resemblance of the Creator.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, in exalted power to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, himself, himself.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? The Ethiopians, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
Wait, Bennett.
Dear God, please make me into a bird so I can fly far, far away from here. Dear
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The countenance, the upright. The
countenance,
the upright. Mizmor Yod Aleif, Mizmor Yod Aleif. La menatziach le David, ba Yahuwah chasiti, aik tomru le nashi, nodu harkema zipor.
Nudi Harikem Tzipor. For the leader, a psalm of David. In Jehovah have I taken refuge. First verse, today's daily psalm, Mizmor Yod Aleph, Mizmor Yod Aleph. Psalm 11, hear, 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 Shema Yisrael, hear, 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 a midrash on today's daily psalm, Psalm 11. For the leader, for the overcomer, La Menatzeach, Le David of David, by Yahuwah, in Jehovah, Chasiti, Chasiti, I've taken refuge. Eik Tomru Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi,
Le Nafshi.
These words are to be read in the light, in the illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere. Even in Psalm 118, verse 6, Yahuwah Jehovah is for me, is for I will not fear. What can man do to me?
What can man do to me? What can
La Menatzeach Le David by Yahuwah Chasiti. For the leader of David, in Jehovah have I taken refuge. A mashal, a parable, a misale, a king, a negus, had a servant whom he befriended more than any of his other servants, so that the king's household, the negus, ha melech, the negus, even negus and the guest household, were envious of him. But the servant said, with my master befriending me, what ordinary mortal can prevail against me,
against me, against me, against me, against me?
Nodu, nudu, harikem tzipor, nudi, harikem tzipor,
tzipor,
flee, flee thou as birds to your mountain. Rav Acha taught, as the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of children of Israel, went into exile, the nations of the earth, intending also to exile Elohim, the true good, the true God, from his place, they said, let make the master as well as his disciple, may ha-rab, the Rav,
the Rav,
the rabbi, as well as his disciple, Talmudo, flee into exile. Note that the Ketib is Nudu, flee ye, flee y'all, Nudu, harkem tzipor. The Ketib, what is written is Nudu, flee ye, flee y'all, while the Kere, what is said is Nudi, Nudi, harkem tzipor, Nudi, the Kere, what is said, the Kere is Nudi, flee thou, flee thee I. Speaking to the feminine, speaking to the soul, Linafshi, Nudi, Harikem Tzipor, flee thou. Thus the nations, the Goyim, the international community said to Elohim above, as well as to the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael below, flee ye, flee y'all, Nudu, to Elohim above, yes, to Elohim above, yes. For Scripture says, as a bird that fleeth from her nest, so is a man that fleeth from his place, in Proverbs 27 and 6. Man here referring to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He. As in the saying, Yahuwah Jehovah is a man of war,
of war,
of war,
of
Yahweh, Ish Milchama, Yahweh Shemo. Jehovah is a man of war, Yahweh, Ish Milchama.
Milchama.
As in Exodus 15 and 13, it reads, Jehovah, Ish Milchama, Jehovah, Yahweh is a man of war. And place. Place here referring to the holy temple.
The holy temple.
Of that, Elohim said in Psalm 132 and 14, this is my resting place forever. This is my resting place forever.
For
I.
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 ki hine ha rishaim yidrakuna kashata konnu khitam al yatar li rota bmo ofel li yisrei. The wicked, the ratchet, ha rishaim, made ready their arrow upon the string. Konnu chitam al yeter. Rav Barkayu taught in the name of Rav Abba Bar Kahana concerning this second verse in today's daily psalm. Hebraically, the wicked made ready their arrow upon the string. Ha rishaim, konnu chitam al yeter. Here, ha rishaim, the wicked, the ratchet, are Shebna and Joah, who wrote a letter, inserted it into a notch in an arrow, and shot the arrow to Sennacherib through a port. In the letter they had written, Hezekiah and Isaiah, do not allow us to make peace with thee. End quote, end quote. The verse it concludes that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Lirot b'mo ofel le yishrei leib. That is, at the two upright in heart, Hezekiah and Yeshayahu, Hezekiah and Isaiah. If the foundations be destroyed, what great work, O righteous one, hast thou wrought? Ki hashatota ye haresun sadik ma pa'al. If the foundations be destroyed, what great work, O righteous one, Hast thou the eye done? Ki hashatota yeharesun sadik mapal. Here in today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 3, if wicked men, ha rishaim, if ratchet men rise up against the righteous, the sadiki, are to destroy them. They upon whom the foundations of thy world is laid, as is written in Proverbs 10:25, the righteous is the foundation of the world. Then, O righteous one of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holy One, praise be He. What great work of thine do the wicked, ha rishaim, leave thee in thy world. If wicked ratchet men rise up against the foundation stone of ha hekal of the temple, that is to say, rising up against the foundation that the world is established upon, are to destroy it, then what pleasure canst thou the eye, Sadika ha'olam, O righteous one of the world, have out of thy world and out of thy great walk. If ratchet, wicked men rise up against the foundation pits of ha'mizbeach, of the altar, that are more ancient than the great abyss, are to destroy them, then Sadika ha'olam, O righteous one of the world, what great work hast thou the eye wrought? Yahweh behekala kadisho, Jehovah is in his holy, his Isla temple. Yahweh behekala kadisho. Here in today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 4. All during the time, the Iowa, that the holy temple stood, the presence dwelt within it. But after the sins, the uckery of Israel had brought it about that the holy temple was destroyed, downstroyed. Elohim, the true good, the true God, the true Trinity is the Hebrew Trinity, removed his presence into Shamayim, the heavens. For the verse, it concludes, Yahweh, Jehovah, his throne is in heaven, heaven, heaven. Yahweh, Bashamayim, Kiso. Rav Eliezer ben Pedat maintained, however, that regardless of whether the Holy Temple is destroyed, downstroyed, or is not destroyed, not downstroyed, the presence, the face, the perception has not departed from the sight. For it is said, Yahuwah, Behekal Kadisho, Jehovah is in his holy temple. Even though his throne is in heaven, Bashamayim Kiso, yet his presence, his perception continues in Hahekal, in the temple. For he said in 1 Kings 9 and 3, mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Perpetually. So too scripture says in Psalm 3, verse 5, he answereth me out of his holy mountain perpetually. Even though the mountain be now bare, its holiness, kedusha, its islandness endures. Rav Eliezer ben Pedat went on to say, mark what Cyrus declared in Ezra 1 and 3, whosoever there is among you of all Amo, his people, make him go up, aliyah up to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, that is in Yehuda, in Judah, and build the house, the bait of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, Elohe Yisrael, the Elohim of Yisrael, of Israel. He is the Elohim, the true good, the true God, who is in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. That is, he is Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God, who did not depart from Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Even after the holy temple, the Isle Temple, was destroyed, was downstroyed. Rav Simon taught, mark that in the verse that reads, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and shalt dwell, shakant, in the field, in Micah 4 and 10. The Ketib, what is written is, Shekinati, meaning my presence, my face, my perception, Shekinati, shall dwell, Shekinati, here, field. Field refers to the field in that the holy temple stood, as is evidenced from Yitzhak, Isaac's saying, quote, see, the smell of Benim, my son, is as the smell of the field that Yahuwah, that Jehovah, hath blessed. According to Bereishis, Genesis 27:27, Rav Acha declared, the presence will never depart from the western wall. For it is said in Song of Songs 2 and 9, behold, he standeth behind our wall. Rav Yanai taught, once a mortal Melech, a mortal king, a mortal Negus, enters his reception room, he cannot see what is done in his sleeping chamber. Not so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so, the Holy One, blessed be he, for it is said, even in today's daily psalm here, Psalm 11, verse 4, Yahuwah behekala kadisho, Yahuwah bashamayim kiso, aynayo yechezu, afapayo yivachenu b'nei Adam. Jehovah is in his holy temple. Jehovah, his throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men, the Bnei Adam, the children of Adam. The glory of Elohim, both on earth, the earthly plane, and in the Shemaim, the place of the celestial waters in heaven, watches and considers every mortal, though no eye has the power to see him. Yahweh Tzadik Yivchan, Jehovah trieth the righteous. Yahweh Tzadik Yivchan. Whom does Elohim try? The righteous, the tzaddik, who stand firm under the trials he imposes. A parable, a mashal, a misale of a farmer who has many heifers. Which heifer does the farmer try out? By setting the yoke upon its neck for plowing? Clearly, the heifer with a stout neck and great strength is the one to plow. Why does not Elohim, the true good, the true God, try the wicked, try the ratchet? Why doesn't Elohim, the true good, the true God, try the wicked? Rav Jose said, because the wicked, ha-rishayim, the ratchet, cannot stand firm under his trying of them. Rav Jose bar Rav Hanina taught, when flax is stiff, the flax worker does not beat it vigorously because it might break. But when the flax is soft, he beats it vigorously because it improves thereby. Even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not try HaRishayim, the ratchet, the wicked, because they will break out in reviling of Elohim, Bashamayim, Elohim in heaven. As is said in Yeshaya, Isaiah, Isaiah 57 and 20, the wicked, the ratchet, are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. But whom does Elohim, the true good, the true God, try? Ha tzadik, the tzadikim, the righteous. Yahuwah tzadik yivachan, we rasha, we oheva hamas sanah nafsho. Jehovah trieth the righteous, Yahuwah tzadik yivachan. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul, his psyche, hateth. We Rasha, we Oheba Hamas, Sana'ah Nafsho. The wicked, the ratchet is Ishmael. And him that loveth violence is Esau. The wicked, Rasha, is Ishmael. And Oheb Hamas, him that loveth violence is Esau. Of whom Elohim said in Malachi 1 and 3, but Esau, I hated. Yamtir al rishaim pachin. Upon the wicked he shall rain pachin.
Yeah, great ball of fire. Coals of fire, hotter, hotter, hotter.
I am that I am, mighty and thunderable, Xabir Masakan, Gramau, Yurasvatar, Madani, Alam, Tina Easterling, the Ghost and the Ghast.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
Interesting reasoning right there. Why don't try the wicked, because they can't stand up to the test. But the path of the righteous and the righteous one.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And brothers and sisters, let's keep pushing it. 20th year and the 21st, still beat Goliath, I and I.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
Save Yahuwah. So right here, as we come to like a seal right here. Here is the Ha Shabbat, Eitz Chaim, Tree of Life. Keywords, Exodus 31, verses 16 to 17, right here. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe HaShabbat throughout their generations, a perpetual covenant, it a sign between me and the children of Israel, the children of Israel forever. For 6 days Jehovah made Hashemayim, the heavens and earth and the earthly plain. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed, 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 refreshed. Beni u vein bnei Yisrael oti le'olam ki shesheta yamin asah Yahua et ha-shemayim ve-et ha-aretz u'a v'yom ha-shevi'i shavat shavat it is a sign between I and the sons of Israel. Beini uvein bnei Yisrael, ot he, she is a sign. Ot, he, beini uvein bnei Yisrael, ot he, le'olam, for she, it is. She is a sign between I and the children of Yisrael le'olam, for I v'le'olam. Ki yashasheta yamim asah Yahuwah, for in 6 days. Ki yashasheta yamim, he who be, who he be made, asah Yahuwah, Jehovah made, et ha-shamayim, the heavens, ואת הארץ and the earth and the earthly plain, וביום השביעי and on the seventh day, וביום השביעי שבת וינפש. He ceased from work. Shabbat וינפש. Vayinafash, and rested. He rested
and was refreshed. Shavat Wayinaf Naf Naf Naf.
Take a breath. Why you not fash? Remember the sign. Remember she. That sign between he who be, who he be, and we. Shabbat shalom. Send the salam. Here's a oldie but goodie right here. Shalom chaverim. Shalom lehitarot. Until we see one another. Until we meet again. Seen, seen. Here, here, here. Chaverim. Shabbat shalom. Deganan, deganan, deganan. Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom, Chaberim, I associate Shalom, Lehitarot, we see, sight, Esai. Shalom, Chaberim, Shalom, Semba Salam, Shabbat Shalom, be well, take a rest, refresh, take a breath.